The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, by now you've seen you've got the second string today. Not walking and talking like Willie does, but I hope that our hearts will be lifted as we wait for the word to come to us. So last week, in our first week, we were called to wait and to be awake because we don't know when the hour will come. But what a paradox it is, because we are waiting and yet we know Emmanuel, God, is with us. And we are waiting and invited to be waiting in peace and in hope and in some quiet time in the season of Advent, while all around us the world turns with the cathedrals of commerce, with the consumer's carnival, with frenetic rushing. So many people get so tired and so worn and so conflicted that by the time Christmas comes, they're ready to drag the tree out that night or the next day and say, "Be done with it." But we also live in the greater paradox. We live in the fact, as well as we look forward to celebrate the incarnation, the birth of Jesus incarnate, made flesh to dwell among us. We know we're waiting for the second coming of Christ in God's time. I remember as a child, I was always surprised that there was more to Christmas than the birth of the baby, that actually the sign of incarnation is the sign of God's coming from heaven to earth to promise us life that goes on and on. And Isaiah tells us what our Messiah is going to be like. He's going to be filled with God's Spirit. He'll be given wisdom and understanding. He will lead with wisdom and understanding and justice, and he'll be righteous and faithful. The peaceable kingdom will come. It will come when all nations are united, when all people are in harmony and turn to God. And now in our gospel today and all of our singing, we know we are to prepare, because John comes to prepare us even before Jesus' earthly ministry begins. John comes, a fiery figure out of the desert, probably a bit frightening, maybe even smelling of camel's hair, with a long beard. But he came from a long tradition of very holy men that went to the desert to begin to understand their relationship to God and their call to bring people back to faith. So people knew he was a prophet, and prophets were revered. But his words really perked up ears and probably would be pretty frightening, because as people were streaming to him to be baptized, as many as Jewish people were baptized before Jesus came, they were baptized to be cleansed from their sins. It was like a kind of a ritual cleansing when they were baptized, that he was telling them, no, my baptism is not Jesus' baptism. And there is going to be a day of judgment, and people are going to have to change their lives, or they're going to be like barren trees who are going to get cut down and burned. The one, he said, to come will separate the righteous from the wicked like wheat from chaff. This will not be any quiet or tranquil event. The baptism that Jesus provides, as John teaches, will immerse people in God's Holy Spirit. And it'll be a cleansing fire. It will not be a fire of destruction. It'll be a holy fire that transforms people. It'll have the power to change the world. And this is our good news. This is the news of John's message. But still, we are to wait, and we are to repent. I know some of us don't really like to be thought of as sinners, even while sinners often appear to be God's very favorites. But perhaps one way to think about sin is what falls into the gap, or what resides in the gap, between how we conduct our lives and how God desires us to live. The word repent actually means turn, turn around. Either turn back and come toward God again, or turn around and step forward and come into the light of Christ and the light of God. Come and turn. So, while we prepare our homes and our plans for Christmas, our season calls us to prepare ourselves. Just as we clean house, or at least tidy up a little bit, we're to open the windows of our hearts. We're to open them to breathe in the fresh air of the Holy Spirit. We're to sweep out what is stale or dry, what pulls us down. The church colors for Advent are purple. Purple is the sign of penitence, of turning around to encounter the holy, the sacred meaning of this season, where we are called to take time to look at our lives, to stop, to release what impedes us, to reach for what restores us. Remember from our early school days, we were all taught, stop, look, listen. Stop, look, listen. I think that's what this season is for. We are first to stop. Now you're probably thinking, oh Lord, I'm too busy. Too busy. But what if you consider this is what God invites you to do, is to stop and look and listen. What would that look like? Perhaps choosing some time every day where you come to quietness, when you rest in stillness, and you meet yourself in the Holy Presence to find out how God is working in your life. Isn't it interesting that healthcare professionals have discovered that meditation and reflection have a great deal to do with one's health? Funny, as if they just invented it. As all the ancients have known, having that time to meditate, and particularly, as we say in the Christian tradition, to contemplate life, to be sensitive to life, to wake up, to listen to the divine music, to wait and to listen for that sense of holiness, that sense that imbues the whole world and also lives within us. You know, as Jesus taught us, when you pray, go into your room, be quiet, be by yourself, and stop. Don't stand on the corner and brag about praying. Make sure that you take time to come in and pray. And retreat from time to time, as Jesus retreated, as he often retreated. And of course, we can always practice looking at the world through God's eyes, stopping and looking and listening to this wonderful world that God has given us. And while we're trying to be good, and we're all trying to be good. How about this season to let go any anger, any grudges, any resentment, any unwillingness to forgive others, any sense of lack of charity, to open yourself and know that God is inviting you to be the good news, to bring the good news, to live the good news. And you know, I also think that God's tenderness and compassion comes to us at this season because while we're all really busy, and I know there are things that need to be taken care of, I think he wants us to let go of perfectionism. You know, let's just try to get this right for once. Just once. Or, no, it's got to be this way. It's got to be this way. It's got to be right this time. This has got to be right. And let go our self-criticism as well as criticism of others. And let go of our impatience with ourselves. And let go fear. You know, we hear the word stress now that covers so many responses to life. But when you think about it very often, when we say we are stressed, aren't we actually afraid? We're afraid of something. We fear something. We dread something. We're anxious about something. Maybe a lot of our stress really comes just from being afraid. We're afraid our performance isn't good enough, or that some event will not turn out well, or that others will not work with us or support us, or we do not feel safe, especially when the world is as perplexing as it is. So when we are experiencing fear, we're experiencing anxiety, how we want things to be, how we want things to be now and in the future. But the future really depends a lot on our plans and our predictions. But that's different. Future is different than Advent. Advent is what is coming. Adventus, coming to, turning to and coming. Advent and the way that we can see the world in Advent is what is coming, not what will be, because that's our ideas, but what is coming. And think about that. Fear is one of the most debilitating emotions we have. But what is the teaching that Jesus repeats over and over more than anything else in the Bible? Fear not. Fear not. Simple and difficult. And that's why we need the good news. The good news that the Word dwells among us and gives us strength and vision and loving presence. We're never alone. Be not afraid, for I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And in case you lament, as we hear that membership in some churches is shrinking, God is not shrinking creation, and God is not shrinking God's plans for us. The Christian faith is growing in so many parts of the world, and we are seeing the emergence of new ways to do church. In September, I revisited seminary where I draw from the well. I receive inspiration from the worship services and meeting young and mature men and women who are training to be ministers of the gospel. And I can tell you, Jesus is alive among us. We can take heart from the millions and billions of people around the world who have found or are finding Christ in some of the most difficult and oppressing circumstances in the world. We're finding new ways to be disciples as Christ's disciples lived among the early cultures that they lived in. Think about it. We're really getting to be more like the early disciples. We're living in diverse and competing cultures. We have sometimes met distrust and disbelief. And what did the disciples do? They went out and they met strangers, and they welcomed them, and they served them, and they loved them, and they carried the message of the good news. And we can be like those early disciples, living in a perplexing and sometimes bewildering world, meeting others. Because you see, we Christians are different. Not better, but we're different. Every day for us is Thanksgiving. Every day is Thanksgiving. And at this time, we have the assurance God loves us and will love us into eternity, and that Jesus has come and will return to give us this new life in him, and continue to invite all who ask to be forgiven, come, come. Our Advent candles are symbols of the love and peace and hope and joy that this season is waiting to celebrate and to live every day. So let's relax. Let's take time to pause and to reflect. And remember Advent, or Adventus, what is coming, what is coming. So that God is with us and will come always. Stop and look and listen in awe, in wonder, in hope, in trust that God brings heaven to earth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.